verses 1 through 8. I got to thinking about this end of the year and first of a new year. And a lot of different things I thought about finally nailed down where God wanted me at today. And I just got to thinking about what if this was my last year I had to live? What if this is my last year? I got to thinking, what would I do? How would I live? If I knew for sure this was my last year that I had to live here on this earth, what a difference would it make in my life? But it just might be for me. Just might be for me. It might be for you. So 2 Corinthians 5:1-8, when we come to the end of the trail, when I was looking for illustrations to bring it to you tonight, I got to reading about different illustrations, and one of the illustrations I read about was talking about the end of the trail that I named this tonight. It's a history museum. There's a painting entitled this, When We Come to the End of the Trail. And it was a painting of an Indian entitled this, and the Indian was sitting on a pony. And both of them was very, very old, and as the Indian and the pony, his picture of them would come up to a ditch. And the pony is old and wore out, and the Indian's old and wore out, and by close to death, and the pony got his head down, and all he sees is that ditch that he's going to be buried in. And the old Indian made an image of God sitting on the pony, and he lifts his head towards heaven as to say, I come to the end of the trail. I hope there's something more. You know, one of these days, every one of us is going to come to the end of the trail. Job 14:14 says, if a man die, shall he live again? Death, is death a period, the end of the sentence, or is it just a comma? Life has in common with a street and with a book and with movies, they all have an ending. We all have an ending. Our heart has so many beats. Our lungs have so many breaths. And then there'll be no more. I watch television in these old country stations and that air country cafe, and I can't think of that lady's name on her. Tells all them jokes. What's her name? Nadine. Y'all ever seen that picture, Nadine? She's a mess. She's telling that how that toilet paper and life have a lot in common. And I said, what is she going to say now? She says, the closer to the end, the faster it goes. Hey, but we can laugh about it and joke about it, but we know, you know, that we're all going to come to the end of the trail one of these days. We know that the old bony fingers of death is going to knock at each and every one of our hearts. So we'd like to read this verse of Scripture tonight, verses 1 through 8. And is there anything after the grave when we come to the end of the trail? And we know that it is for the saved. And Paul's talking here to the Corinthian church, for we know that if our earthen house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in heaven. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that, being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for what we would be unclothed, but closed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the self same thing is God, who also hath given to us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that where we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Let us pray again. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, if we already discussed this hour, how the mercy, Lord, that you shed upon us this day, that, Lord, that we might be able to look out and see the love upon our life and our family, Lord, that you have granted us, O God, because that you do love us and because of your mercy and your grace and not because of how we live or what we do, because of who you are and how you love us so much. So we want to thank you here, Lord, this past year and down to this hour we live. Father, for each and every one of us here this night, for this church as a whole, that we might be more thankful in this coming year, especially myself, for all the great blessings, Lord, that we take for granted each day as we have been calling out names of people at six and the death of loved ones and one have this terrible disease of cancer and other problems in their life. And Father, we hear this hour, Lord, and we able to, Lord, to come to this house this night, Lord, to worship you, and we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for the living word of God. God, we just thank you, Lord, that we might be able to praise your name this night. And we just ask you, Lord, to just forgive us where all of us have failed you and not be in the church that we should be. Lord, that people might be saved to come, Lord, for everlasting salvation before it's too late. Again, we want to thank you and praise the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. So we know that as we're talking about this tonight, we won't come to this end of our trail. You know, for the saved, though, we know it's a fold that must be faced. But for the lost, it's really a fact. It should be feared. And a lot of people fear death. Don't have to hope, and we don't have to wonder, because we know what the Word of God says, that we have a home. There's more after death when we come to the end of the trail. Death, I know it's not a wall at the end of life, but it's a bridge to be leads us to a better life. So I like to talk about our earthly decay. In verse 1 again, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a builder of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in heaven. Now it says this word house. House is the body that we live in. When I look out upon you here this night, I see a bunch of houses. You know, I see some older houses, I see some middle-aged houses, and, you know, some tall houses, some slim houses. I see all different type of houses because you're the night that I'm looking at. It's just houses that we all live in. See, your body is not you, and that's what I want you to get out of this sermon tonight, that your body is not you. Your house, as he's talking about, you live in this house, but this house, this body we're talking about here, is not you. In a real sense, did you know that people don't get sick in the real sense? People don't get sick in the real sense. Their bodies get sick. The real you don't get sick. People don't grow old. This house grows old. I'll prove it to you. In 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outer man perish, yet the inner man is renewed day by day. The real us won't age. The real us that we can't see won't age. This body will age. This tent will age. This house will age. But the real me don't age. You ever heard somebody, I'm young in spirit? Well, that's exactly the truth, that we are young in spirit. We're being renewed all the time. Someone asked John Quincy Adams, you know, about the sixth president. He was about 80-year-old, up in his age at that time. How is John Quincy Adams doing? He said, oh, John Quincy Adams is doing real well. But this old house is pretty feeble and pretty wore out. You see, John Quincy Adams learned a very valuable lesson, and that is the difference between him and the house. You know, if a lot of people understand the difference between the real you in the house, there'd be more decisions made for Jesus Christ, and we would live a closer life to Jesus Christ than what we live today if we could just learn that. Now, there's the fact about it that you know that we're living in an old house, and we understand that this old house we live in is going to get old. It's a decaying house. The outward man, it says perish. That means it's decaying. And I know that I was coming tonight, so most of us tonight are senior citizens. We have a few young chickens in here, but most of us are senior citizens tonight on Wednesday night. So most of us know what I'm talking about whenever we're talking about this decay of this old house. You know, the old paint, you take an old house, you know, the paint will peel off, you know, and you need to renew that coat of paint. You just paint the house, and then a few years, you know, what you're going to have to paint that house again. I guess maybe we're talking about this old house we're living in, and I'm not picking on ladies, but you see, probably ladies are more knowledgeable about this than men is, because you see, really men don't too much care about this old body like the ladies do about repainting this old house. You see on television, we're having plastic surgery, and they just fixing everything about most of them women, sometimes men too, but most of the women, you know, this facelift and eyebrows lift and everything lift and tucks and lift and turns. You know what they're doing? They're putting another coat of paint on that old house, but it's still going to get old. Did y'all know it? I mean, it's still going to get old. Even these old movie stars, you know, they do all they can, but they age and they die just like everybody else. I don't care what they do. You repair that old house, you know, but it's still going to get old. Little boy is watching his mother put on this old facial cream, you know, and she is putting it on, and after a while she let it stay a while, and she is wiping it off, you know, and little boy just kept watching and watching. He said, "Mama, what do you put that stuff on to take it off for?" She said, "Well, it makes me beautiful." He said, "It ain't working, is it?" You got tan? Ray, you got tan? You know, we can repair that old house. You take an old house. A lot of us know what I'm talking about. You repair an old house. You can repaint an old house. You can refurnish an old house. You can do whatever you want to do to an old house. Do you know it's still an old house? If you got an old house, you can do all you want to the thing, and it's still an old house. Because you get something fixed and something else tears up. And you just always patch and you add to it. It's always an old house. And you know what? It's still going to decay. Thank the Lord now that this old house that I'm living in right here, this house tonight that I'm living in, thank the Lord, you know, that we're talking about these people on our prayer list and everybody got us. Thank the Lord he's given the doctors and technology to repair these old bodies that we might make it a few more miles. Amen. I mean, you know, a few years ago we didn't have the repair technology to repair these old house. But I don't care what they do. I don't care how much technology they have. This old house is decaying. And it's like your whole house that you live in. I live in mine over 40-something years old now, and it's decaying. You can patch it up, you can fix this, but there's something else going to rot and tear down and mess up and crack because it's just an old house. And God has built a decay into this house. God's built it into this old house, and he doesn't want us to settle down here in this old house. He has a better house prepared on the other side. When I come to that end of that last trail, I'm going to have a better house. Not this old house to be repaired, but I'm going to have a better house. Because I know that this decaying house that I'm living in. But not only that, I know it's a dying house that I'm living in. Dying house in verse 2, it says, "For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven." You know, do you know about groaning? I got up off that pew right there a while ago. I groaned. Do any of you ever groan and complain? You don't, do you? You don't never groan, never complain. I never seen so much hurt as we have in my life. You always complain, you know, it's your back or it's your head, you know, it's your feet, you know, and it's the big toe or it's your nose or something's hurting all the time and ain't working like it ought to. Hey, something bad. And the older this old house gets, the more them things that we find out is wrong. You know, I have a pain here, you know, over my back. You get up out of bed and you went to sleep that night and everything was all right, and then they get up and then you got a strange pain you ain't never had before. Or something don't work. It's your knee or your ankle or, you know, it's your back or something ain't working right in this old house. Well, when we groan and complain, we're just being biblical because you said, you know, in verse 4, "For we that are in this tabernacle, this tent," we do groan. So we're just being biblical when you groan. You're just being biblical. "Being burdened, not for that which would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up in the life of out of this life, up of the life." You know, this old house has been giving me some signs that I'm getting old. Excuse me. You have any signs that you're getting old? Any of us tonight got any signs that you're getting old? I wrote down some of these things I got out of a book. And these signs as you're getting old, it takes you longer to rest than it did to get tired. Can anybody relate to that? How about this? Most of your dreams are reruns. I like that one. You sit down in a rocking chair and you can't get it to going. Your mind signs some contracts your body can't keep. Y'all know where I'm coming from, don't you? Men, this is for you. You don't care where your wife goes as long as you don't have to go with her. I said, well, I know that in this. Hey. Men, your knees buckle, but your belt won't. Y'all know where I'm coming from, don't you? You sink your teeth in the steak and they stay there. I'm going to get there, isn't I? You know what, we laugh, but you know the truth tonight, we're all growing old. These old bodies in this old house, and ain't nothing going to stop it. You know, it's decaying house, and you know, it's a house that's going to be disappearing for long. 100 years, very short, isn't it? I mean, it's short. And we know it's going to get old and we're groaning, but it's going to disappear one day. A house is described, this house we're living in, as a tent. You see, you don't build a tent. You pitch a tent because it's going to be temporarily. And it's not permanent, because you pitch the tent, you're going to take it down. And it says, you know, a tabernacle. This tent that we're living in, it's just temporary. You know, a lot of y'all been camping and y'all slept in tents, and you've camped probably with tents with your kids or whatever. And what do? You pitch a tent, but you take it down because, you see, it's not permanent, it's temporary. And 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The body come from dust, and dust thou shalt return. Ecclesiastes 3:20 says, all go into one place. All are of the dust, and all turn to dust. Y'all believe that? A little boy heard his preacher preaching about that same verse of scripture. And he says, Mama, didn't that preacher say that we all come from dust and all go into dust? She said, that's what he said. That's what the Bible says. He said, upstairs under my bed, he said, I can't tell if somebody's coming or going. We come from the dust and we're going back to the dust. These old bodies are not made here to stay forever. But our eternal dwelling. In verse 1 it says, this house that we're talking about. For we know that if this old earthen house, this old tabernacle, this old tent were dissolved, we have a builder of God. Look out now. A house not made with hands, eternal in heaven. God's got his name, got his signature on this old house. A house that's made in heaven. Now, this house that's made in heaven is not talking about what Jesus Christ in John 14 says, I'm going to build you a mansion. You see, it's not talking about those mansions we're going to be living in. It's talking about this house here, not the mansion that we're going to live in. It's this body that he's talking about here. The resurrection body that I'm going to have a new one. The house, this spirit and this soul in. A resurrection body. And it's not going to be an earthly house. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to be my eternal home. It's going to be a new house because I'm going to have a new body. Because God made it, and all these old bodies are going to wear out. It's going to be a supernatural body. Builder of God. House not made with hands. An eternal body. A resurrected body. This old house, that old body. We're going to have a new body. When we come to the end of the trail, I'm going to tell you, that's not going to be the end of it for us. Because the Bible says we're going to have a new body. We're going to have a new body. It's going to be a spiritual body. It says not made for this earthly, but it's made for the heavenly. It's not subject to physical law, but the heavenly law. Free from the law of sin. I got to thinking, I think it was last night, I got to thinking, you know, about the things in my life. And I got to think, how would it be? Have you ever got to the point you'd like to ask God, say, God, I wish I could never sin again. I don't never want to sin again. Are you that way? You don't never want to sin again, but you know what? I fall and I sin, things I do, I shouldn't do, something I say, and you know, it's all kind of things, even thoughts. Just all of us, you know, we just have that old fallen nature, and I yield to it just like you do. Any of you in here like to be where you wouldn't ever? Have you ever thought about that? And I say, you ever said, Lord, I won't ever do this again. Lord, help me, and I'm gonna be this best. I'm gonna be better. I'm gonna be on fire for the Lord. I'm gonna do this, and then you know, the next day you're right back where you was. Next week, you're right back where you was. Lord, what if I get to a point that I never sin? You know what? You will one day. But it won't be in these old bodies. To think about it, that you will be able just to be able to be perfect and never sin. Wouldn't that be great? Just think about it. Never sin no more. No pain, no crying, no sorrow. No going to the doctors every other day for a checkup or whatever. No exercise, no medicine. Don't have to worry about going to bed. You won't ever get tired in heaven. No atheist was thinking about death, and he talked to a preacher and he says, you know, I heard you preach, you know, about the resurrection. He said, "Preacher, I don't believe a thing in the world you said about death." Because he said, I believe death ends it all." And the preacher said, "Well, what do you believe?" He said, "Well," he said, I believe when you die, that just winds it up. That's all there are to it." The old preacher said, "Well, that's the same thing I believe. I believe death ends it." He said, "You believe that too, that death ends it?" "Yeah," he says, "I believe death ends it. I believe death ends that you won't never be forgiven for your sin if you die. That ends it for you. Death ends the project that you had here on this life. Death ends the ambition that you had to do great things." He said, "You know, death ends the fellowship that you might have with your friends, your neighbor, your loved ones, and your friends. Death ends all the gospel message that you'll ever hear again. Death ends all the grace of God that you'll ever experience." He said, "Yeah, death ends because you're going to step out into darkness and the separation from God forever and ever." And that preacher said, "You know what, but death also ends it for me because it ends all my disappointments in this life. It will end all the pain that I have in this tabernacle and tent. It would release me from all the sorrow and end all the sorrow and all the sickness and all the suffering. And I only have glory. No hospitals, no graveyard." Yeah, he said, "It ends it all. But it's just in different ways for the lost and different ways for the saved." I just feel sorry for those atheists. But we're going to have a special body. This special body, new clothes, because we're going to have a new life. How are we going to look? You ever thought about how you're going to look? Well, I'm going to tell you in three words how you're going to look. I don't know. But I read some scriptures in Psalm 17 and 15. This is what it said in scriptures. "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." I don't know how these bodies are going to look, this new body that I'm going to get. But by the assurance of the word of God, the psalmist says, "In the face of his righteousness, I shall be satisfied." You know, you've never been satisfied in these bodies. You've never been completely satisfied. You always want something else. You want it. We always messed up what I wanted all the time. We got our wanters and our needs messed up. But I'll tell you, one day you'll be satisfied and you'll want no more. You won't know more. Our eternal destiny. What happens between the death and the resurrection? Our loved ones and family and the ones that died in the Lord for 2,000 years of resurrection. They go on to be with the Lord, like the Bible says. It's a glorious destiny. Verse 6, 7, and 8. "Therefore we are always confident, knowing that, while we, you know, are at home in these bodies here tonight, but we are absent from the Lord. We walk not by faith, but by sight. We are confident, and I say we'd rather be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." So many times, you know, we get sick and we ask people to pray, and then there's somebody, you know, that's real deathly sick, and man, I'm going to tell you what, they're just a bag of pain and a pile of bones. We're praying, "Lord, you know, do this, Lord, do that." And know what we're trying to do in this saint of God, we're trying to keep them out of heaven. Don't we know that they'd be better off in a new body, in the body that we're going to have here, and this old body's wore out and pain and subject, that they'd be better to that old new body? See, we don't need to confuse, you know, this house with the occupant of this house that so many people do. One day this old house is going to collapse that I'm living in. I don't care if I go to St. Vincent, they patch it up another time or two. I don't care what hospital I go to, how much medicine I take. One of these days, this old house and your old house is going to collapse. And when it does, I won't be here. If I fall down this moment right now before I hit the floor, I'm going to tell you, I won't be here. My soul and my spirit will be with the Lord. Did you know it is impossible to bury a saint? It's impossible to bury a saint. You just burying that old body, that old house, old tent, but you're not burying the saint. You're just burying that old body. It's a God-given destiny. In verse 5 it says, "Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing as God, who also gives us this earnest of the Spirit." We have a dwelling place eternal in heaven. God has not made us for this earth, but for heaven. God has not made us for self, but for himself. But we got a guaranteed destiny. The earnest of the spirit. We ain't got time to go a long ways into that. The earnest money, you know what earnest money is? You ever pay a down payment on a house? You used to have to pay down payment on houses, down payment on cars, and down payment on whatever you bought, just about it. You had to pay a down payment. That was the earnest money guaranteed you're going to finish paying it. That's what one thing it's talking about, this the earnest of the spirit. Another thing is the same thing as an engagement ring. And the Holy Spirit is an engagement ring to you and I, the saints of God. An engagement ring that his bride will be at the wedding supper of the Lamb. Boy, that'll make you feel good, won't it? The wedding supper of the Lamb. Out in the Mediterranean Sea, before they had maps and charts and scales, they would, you know, the Marines would sail around the Mediterranean Sea. They'd go out to the Rock of Gibraltar. Y'all ever heard about that? They'd go out to the open sea, to the ocean. But they had no plots. They wouldn't go beyond that. They just go out to that old rock. That's far to go and sail around it. Because they didn't want to go no further out. Because they wrote on that, you see, there's nothing beyond. The Marines would chisel out on those rocks of that Gibraltar. There's nothing beyond. Then there was a man named Columbus. Columbus, you see, he sailed right on out of past the Rock of Gibraltar, and he found a new world, called it America, North America. From that time on, the Marines went out and they chiseled, there's more beyond this rock. Well, there was another man, was our Columbus. 1 Corinthians 15:20 says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that slept, or them that sleeps. How did he discover this new world? He discovered it on the cross of Calvary for you and I. And he was the first fruit of the resurrection. And that was a guarantee that all the people that come and follow Columbus from all around the world, he chartered that way. But you see, we has one a lot greater than Columbus. And his name was Jesus Christ. And he charted away from heaven to this earth. And he charted away back from this earth to heaven. He knew the way back and he made a plan. He made a path. And I'm going to tell you, there's more beyond now because we have our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So when we come to the end of our trail, you see there's more beyond for what Christ Jesus has done for us. Do we have one of those songs we'd like to put on for just a moment? We'll have a word of prayer as we sit here tonight and just have a little prayer, if you'd like to, where you're at. Just sit in your seats as we just have a moment or two of silent prayer. I hope you're thanking the Lord tonight.